Take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 4. We'll go to chapter 5 here in just a minute. We're looking at major characters in the Bible. And Enoch, last week we looked at Cain. And Cain is a type of Antichrist. Every bad person in the Bible is not a picture of the Antichrist. But there are 18 pictures in the Bible of specific traits of the Antichrist when he comes in the tribulation period. Today is Enoch, and the first thing I want you to know about Enoch is there's two of them. And the first one is evil. The second one that we're going to study is the good one. But most people don't realize that the first Enoch was bad. And if you're there in Genesis chapter 4, look at verse number 16. So Cain gets a mark on him, right? And he's the first murderer in the Bible. And then watch this. And Cain went out, I'm at chapter 4, verse 16, and went out from the presence of the Lord. Okay, just that statement is strong. Cain represents what's evil. He on purpose left the presence of the Lord. That means everything that's going to proceed from Cain is evil. Okay, so he goes out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And did I tell you all last week about Nod? Okay, yeah, it's the land where many church members go when the pastor starts preaching. Okay, all right, so here we go. Verse number 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. You have to understand, that's the first time city's mentioned in your Bible. Why is a city bad? Because God told them to populate the earth. God didn't tell them what's a city. God didn't tell them to bunch together. God told them to replenish the earth, Genesis chapter 1. This is an act of rebellion where it says, I don't want to go off by myself and do what God said. I want to form a collection of people. Nimrod's going to come along later, but you do have to understand, cities, and I think we're seeing it now maybe more than ever, the closer you put people together, the more evil the system gets. New York has the highest population I've ever seen per capita. There was another church from us, 15-minute drive when we were in New Jersey, and the population concentration was so high. Think about this, a church 15 minutes away, and the population was so dense, nobody from either church knew anybody. I'd never seen anything like that. That's because it's just there's so many people per square inch. You say, why are you saying that? When we were in New York was a, as I met people, and you know, we would knock on doors and invite people to church, people are scared. The tighter you pack people, okay, what happens when you put a bunch of people in an apartment complex? The tighter you put them, the immorality goes up. In other words, the idea of a city is not good. I did not say if you live in it, okay, you got to be careful because there's a lot of people that live in cities. But you will notice America has made a shift in the past 50 years of going from rural to suburban, okay? And then you're also going to watch what happened in America. You're going to watch the ideology change. This is an act of rebellion. Cain represents that. He builds a city, and the name of the city, he named the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So, there's, and then of course the rest of chapter 4 is the rebellion with music and polygamy and all of that. Then you get to chapter 5, okay? Now, let's look at Enoch, the second one, and watch this, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. 65-year-old man. We would think that's pretty weird, right? A 65-year-old person having their first baby. That's what happened with Enoch. Why is this happening? Then he lives 300 years afterwards. Why is this? Because the water from the firmament has not fallen yet. It will in chapter 7. You know, when the flood happens, what? All that water up there And then the water comes up and the water comes down. We'll look at that with Noah. But the atmosphere was different. I don't know, I wasn't there. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But they say, Adam, before the flood, you could sprint, full run, 5 miles and never be winded. Because when you inhaled, it was like taking 5 of breaths like we take. The atmospheric pressure was different. The moisture in the atmosphere was different. That's how come people lived. Methuselah is the oldest man who ever lived, 960 years or whatever. Adam lived 930 years. How'd they do that? Well, here's Enoch, 65 years old, has his first child. Then he's going to live 300 years past that. Watch this. At verse 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24, key verse, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It is interesting, in verse 22 it says, after Enoch begat Methuselah, verse 22, notice after Methuselah it's a colon, and then verse 22 says, and Enoch walked with God. My dad said, son, my dad was 20 years old when I was born. And my dad said, son, when you were born, my life changed overnight. My life was never the same. I didn't think the same. My priorities changed. He said, when you were born, I think the same thing happened here with Enoch. It doesn't say he walked with God before he was 65. God was still just as real. But the pressure of raising good children for the Lord, Brother Bulkley told me, he said, raising children for the Lord is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. There is nothing harder. Well, that weight of, if I want my children to turn out right, Enoch started walking with God after the child was born. Methuselah changed Enoch's life. The baby changed his life. It's supposed to. It's supposed to. It's supposed to be a weight of, dear God, help me provide a home. This child is on Lent from you to me, and I got 18 years with it in the American society. They say you have 5 years to mold its character. By the time the child is 5, whatever it is at 5, it will multiply until 12, and then it stops. That's not the way we raise kids nowadays. Our society raises them. You put them in a daycare. Somebody else, puts up with them, does not train them, because they're not allowed to spank in a daycare, right? And you're watching what's happening to our society. Okay? So the weight of the child in Enoch's life caused him, I think, God put it there for a reason, to walk with God. And there's supposed to be a good pressure that comes with marriage. There's supposed to be a good pressure is good. Pressure makes diamonds. You can't take a shower without pressure, right? Pressure lets you take a shower. So pressure is good, but people go, I don't like the pressure and I don't like the drive. Our testimony is supposed to be a weight and a pressure that pushes us. What will those that are following think of the example that I'm leaving? Can they follow me? You heard the old statement, I got the song on my computer, it's called Daddy, I Just Want to Walk in Your Shoes. I just want to put my feet where you've gone. I want to be what you think is great. Well, he ought to do what God wants him to do. That normally doesn't happen. The parents win every time. And they duplicate what they see. So Enoch gives us, I think, the first lesson that there's a weight that comes with child-rearing that ought to be felt. And then notice this. So Enoch starts walking with God because of the wonderful pressure of parenting. And then watch this, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. When we start looking at this, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. there's only two people in the Bible that, now I know David loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. He's the only one that said about that. But Enoch and Noah are the only two people that are recorded as walking with God. We know Abraham was the friend of God. David was a man after God's own heart. We know not a word. God didn't let a word of Samuel fall to the ground. There were great men in the Bible, but there's only two that God tells us walked with him. And I think there's a consistency that God's after. But watch this. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It's interesting. The word translate is used three times there. Translated, translation, all that is used three times, one verse. It says here, that he should not see death. Okay, think about this just for a second. We said last week, Abel was the first person to die, right? First person murdered by his brother. He's been in heaven, you could basically say, for 6,000 years. He's been in heaven the longest. But when he went to heaven, his body went in the ground and his spirit went up. Enoch is the first person whose body went up with his spirit. And Enoch has been in heaven for, basically you could say, 4,000 years. In a body that's just like this, that has not died yet. Okay? So, he's been in the presence of God. I think it's interesting. It says here, and was not found. Can you imagine Enoch's children and wife? Doesn't say who his wife was. But Enoch's children, Dad went out this morning at about, 6, 7 o'clock, just like he does every morning. Went walking with God. Can you imagine the day he didn't come back? Well, where's Dad at? Well, he's normally back here by about, 9, 10. I don't know. I'm guessing. Okay, hang with me. But can you imagine they looked for him? Well, he always walks down this path right here, and he walks out for an hour, and where's Dad at? He's nowhere to be found. I don't know how long it took them to find Enoch. I don't know if God revealed it to them. I don't know, but eventually it had to come up. There's no body. There's no signs of murder. There's nothing other than, wow, Enoch was walking. Can you imagine God walking with God, spending time with God, and God says, this was God's idea, I want you to go ahead and come home with me and spend the day with me. And since there's no night in heaven for 4,000 years, Enoch's been spending the day with God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He's been where there is no night. And so God invites him and takes him, and he's looked for. Now, what did he do for 300 years when he was walking with God? We'll draw some conclusions here in just a second. Look at one more verse. You're in Hebrews chapter 11. Now go to Jude. Jude, right before Revelation. And look at verse 14. Jude, verse 14 and 15. It says here, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Seven's the number of perfection, right? It's God's number, right? So that seventh from Adam, that's interesting. Okay. Prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Okay, does everybody understand this is before there was a Bible? The Bible doesn't come until Moses, right? So Enoch is preaching about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Behold, the Lord comes with his saints. That's why it all, as far as this portion of the Bible, the second coming, that's why we've said it's the greatest event in your Bible. Isn't that amazing? All the way back to Enoch, he was prophesying, before Jesus, he was prophesying of the second coming. Notice his message, and then I just wanted to draw your attention to a few things. Watch this. It says here, with 10,000s of his saints, verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow, if you had to pick the key word in that verse, it would be ungodly, right? Okay, so here's the thing. You say, man, this is a hard preacher. You realize the crowd he was preaching to in Genesis 6 tells us was where the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they took wives. And giants were in the earth. And violence filled the earth. That's what happens when you play with what God's created, right? So there was DNA manipulation going on. He's preaching to a violent people for 300 years after he starts walking with God. Nobody got saved. But for 300 years he preached. I mean, I'd say hellfire, damnation, brimstone. You know what I mean? This is a stout preacher. Y'all ungodly sinners, ungodly words, and your filthy speech. He did that for 300 years. To who? To the crowd that would be destroyed in the flood. And nobody got saved. Just like when Noah preached for 120 years, nobody got saved. A crowd that would not get saved because they had been played with or manipulated. I do think, I was mentioning to somebody, I do think it's amazing the DNA manipulation that we're seeing, the science. They've been doing it for about 30 years. But cloning, all of that stuff, it's amazing. I think things are coming full circle, just like it was in the days of Noah. It's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. Did you know they started DNA, changing your DNA to kill you started with mosquitoes, with the Zika virus, with mosquitoes in Florida. So they took a mosquito, took its DNA, changed it. Then when that mosquito let it go, when they let it go in the Everglades or wherever they wanted to exterminate the mosquitoes, that mosquito, every mosquito it bred with died and couldn't replicate. So it's always been done in the name of safety. But they're now to the point where insecticides, they can change the DNA, it's RNA technology, they can change it in the insecticide, and they're now getting to where they can target races of people based on their race and kill just that race. It's getting pretty wild. Now, once again, it started 30 years ago, but you say, why is that an issue? Enoch is preaching to a crowd that never gets saved. He's faithful to the Lord. How did he do that? How do you preach to a people that don't want to hear you? He wasn't a pastor. How do you keep preaching to people that are ungodly and wild? There's only one way you can do that. If you did that when you get discouraged after about, sermon number 10, okay? He did it for 300 years. How did he do that? He walked with God. And when you walk with God, you get a love for people that God has. They don't want to hear you preach, but your love for people comes from God, not you. Right? That's why the closer you get to the Lord, I can take a lesson from Enoch. The more time you spend with the Lord, and the closer you walk with God, the more you'll love what God loves. And what's God love? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And you'll start to hate what God hates. A walk with God is what caused, I believe, Enoch to start preaching. And his walk with God is what kept him preaching from getting discouraged. Now, We've looked at we looked at the crowd he's preaching at. He preached for 300 years. Let's see if we can draw some conclusions, okay? What does it mean when you say walk with God? It's like in America, if you ask somebody, hey, do you love God? The answer is always, oh yeah, I love God. Because everybody loves God in America, right? As far as I'm talking, the question goes this way. If you ask somebody, hey, do you walk with God? I'm sure they'd say, oh, I've prayed before I eat one time, you know, or the idea of walking with God is supposed to go like this. If you're walking with God, then he's right by your side, right? He's somebody that you're next to. That means that there's a relationship with God first. That's what happened when you got saved. God was angry with you because of your sin. You placed your faith in Jesus. His blood washed away your sin. Now God's not angry with you anymore. And God wants to talk with you if you will take time and talk with God. But does God make you talk with him? No. Does God ever leave you when you don't talk with him? No. So the decision to walk with God, it is amazing. You've got God who's with you. The decision to walk with God's you and me, right? It's my decision on whether I walk with God, not God's. God died for me so I could walk with him. There's a relationship there. If you lose sight of this in the Christian life, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you lose the importance of your relationship with Jesus Christ, your love for him, everything goes down the tubes. You lose the reason for it all. Everything becomes just motions, just going through it. Yeah, blah, 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 day in, day out. There's no relationship. There could be, but you'll notice that's our choice. That's our choice. That's why God tells us over and over again, don't forget, remember, think about, consider, remember. Why? Because we're so prone to forget. We're so distracted. And if there was ever a time where we have a lot to occupy us, it's now. If you're a good Christian in these days, it's because you set your mind towards it. It's not because it accidentally happens. Oh, I'll read my Bible if I get a chance. You won't. Oh, I'll pray when I get around to it. Trust me, you won't. You'll pray when you determine you're going to pray. You'll read your Bible when you determine you're going to read your Bible. It never accidentally happens. Enoch walked with God. He had a relationship first. A walk with God means I recognize I can talk with him anytime I want. He never leaves me. Take this thought just for a second. Since God lives inside of you, if you're saved, how long does it go till you talk to him? If you spent a day with somebody and they never talked with you, would you call them rude? Here, let's take this further. If you had... let's just think about this for a second, okay? If you had a friend, or if you were, let's say you went to church with somebody, and you visited a church, and they never introduced you to anybody in the church, and you sat with them, but you never introduced them, would they feel welcome? Would you feel welcome? The answer is no. How long? Coming to church reminds us, wow, God never leaves me. Tonight when I lay my head down on my pillow, he's right there. But to go a whole week without saying anything, oh, I think about God. I know, but do you ever talk with him? Well, I love God. I know, but if you loved everybody like you loved God, you wouldn't have any friends. And we'd never treat somebody else that way, but God gets treated that way all the time, right? What I'm doing this morning is there's only two people in the Bible that are recorded as walking with God, Enoch and Noah. That'll be in the next chapter, okay? Genesis chapter 6. What does that mean? I'm trying to take the generalities out because this is America. And in American Christianity, everything goes. You get to do whatever you want. And everybody loves God. No, everybody doesn't love God. Everybody doesn't walk with God. And walking with God, you walk with God when you decide to, not when God does. God always wants you. Once you get saved, right? So it's a decision. Notice this, two things. It's based on a relationship. He never leaves me. So I can... It's wonderful. Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you love me, keep my command. It's interesting. I know Jesus is your God. I know he created you. I know he's your Savior. If he's the one you've placed your faith in, have you ever made Jesus your friend? What do you do with a friend? You talk with a friend. You confide, right? I would think that would include a walk with God. One more thing I want to bring up with walking with God. It's a relationship. It's going to have a consistency then. Since God never leaves me, it's going to have they say the greatest enemy of Christianity and the main reason, that's not the only reason, but the main reason people don't get saved is because hypocrisy. They saw somebody do something. Somebody didn't say what, you know, they did something they said they weren't or whatever. That, okay, it's in your Sunday school lesson. Gandhi, you know, said he wanted to be a Christian, but all the Christians that he saw were fake. So he said, I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for Christians. So he was assassinated and he died and he's been in hell since, I don't know, past 70 years. He's been burning. They said he was a nice, peaceful guy, okay? But his statement is interesting. I'd be a Christian if it wasn't. Now, that's no excuse to not get saved. You want to die and go to hell? That's your fault. That's not God's fault. You chose that. But most people use the excuse of other people why they don't want to get saved. Why are you talking about like that? Because when you walk with God, there's a consistency, and I think the thing that does Christianity the most damage is when you think Sunday is my day to be spiritual and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are my day. That's when I'm in the world. But God never leaves you. Church isn't supposed to be the holy place and then your home another place. If that happens and you have a double standard, then you pay the price for that and you suffer spiritually for it. You can't grow. Well, no, when I'm at church, you know, I'd never cuss at church, but when I'm at here, but God never left you. If you're saved, amen. I know we have people with Catholic backgrounds in our church. We're in probably the most Catholic area I've ever been in, which is fine. That's one of the first things that you have to get through when a Catholic gets saved. They're used to that. Sunday is for religion. I confess my sins, and then you do whatever you want to do through the week. Versus, God saved me. He came inside me. And every day is supposed to be holy. Every place is supposed to be holy. There's a consistency if there's a walk with God. I'm taking Enoch this morning and I'm just trying to say, what could I learn from Enoch? For 300 years, he preached and walked with God and nobody got saved. How do you make it through that kind of discouragement? God does. God sustains you. God helps you. Well, there was a consistency if you're walking with God. And there's finally, Amos 3:3 says this, can two walk together except they be agreed? Why wouldn't somebody walk with God who died for them? There's only one reason. Because you disagree with God. Can two walk together except they agree? And God isn't supposed to agree with me. It's my disagreement with God it's when I get upset with God that disturbs my walk with God. Because God did something I don't approve of. Or God did something that I disagree with. Or God didn't do things my way and make my life work out the way I wanted it to work out. I'll say it again. You walk with God to the degree you agree with the Lord. And you don't walk with God to the degree you disagree. Well, I want this in my life, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. God says, I don't have to change. You're the one that has to change. And the more you spend time with me, well, right, if I spend time with you, then I'll end up giving up this and this, and I don't want to. And we don't walk with God. There's a disagreement there. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer is no. So on a Christian walking with God, as you ever notice, all through the Bible, don't remember, God says, don't forget where I saved you from. Don't forget, if you could just keep your focus on you were a hell-deserving sinner before you got saved. Everything else is small talk. But when you start getting your eyes off of your salvation and what God did for you when he saved you, then it becomes, well, that's my life, and I don't know if I want to. Then there's a selfishness there that dominates. If I can just stay focused, I deserve a burning hell. And if God had justice and demanded justice, I'd be in hell right now. But the only reason I'm not in hell is because of his mercy and his grace. God sent somebody to me, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. It was all him. Same thing's true with you. If I can just keep my gratitude up, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Everything else he asks me to do, I didn't say it was easy, but I can do it if I stay thankful, if I stay in love with him. If not, it's my life, I've gone far enough. If I need you, I'll call you. You know, I'll pop the parachute, you know. I know you're just a phone call away. I know, I got you. Leave me alone. And that is American Christianity. Because I won't take correction. The walking with God is based on a relationship. He never leaves you. Which then leads to a consistency, and there's an agreement. One more thing about Enoch. He was caught away before the flood. So, you know, God creates the earth, and he's the seventh from Adam, and then poof, God takes him. About 600 years later, God brings the flood upon the earth and floods the whole earth, destroys the earth. It's a picture of Enoch, is an Old Testament picture of us when we're raptured. Just like Enoch was taken and he was not, Enoch is a picture of us. One day, God's going to call us home and the seven-year tribulation is going to take place. And God is withholding the evil right now. God plainly says that. He's restraining evil from the earth. You think things are bad now? Jesus describes this period as the worst that has ever been or ever will be. You know why? Because when we're raptured, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God stops restraining the evil. When we're out of here, poof! And It goes beyond description. It will literally be hell on earth. Hell opens up. The demons come out. The suffering begins. People, there'll be times where people won't even be able to die. They're going to want to. They're going to commit suicide, but God won't let them die. We're gone, right? Like Enoch. And what did God do with Noah? He carried them through the flood. Noah's going to be a picture of Israel. God's going to carry Israel through, and then when he comes, he restores again. As far as an Old Testament picture of a New Testament truth, the rapture is not in the Old Testament. It's nowhere. The resurrection is, amen, but the Old Testament picture of the rapture is Enoch, okay? And as far as Enoch helps me in the day and age we're living in. God knows where we're at. The churches, some of the big mega churches say, well, all this evil took God by surprise, and so we need to, God didn't know it was going to get, what a stupid thought. God didn't know it was going to get this bad, so we need to change to get people in. I'm glad for the visitors God gives us, but you do realize, Enoch preached for 300 years, not one person got saved. Noah preached for 120 years, not one person got saved. God's been good. I've seen the blessings of God. Amen. And God's still in the soul-saving business. But God knows how evil our time is. And God knows how wicked our day and age is. How do we make it without getting discouraged? I hope you can take this morning from the lesson, walk with God. That's your choice. God will walk with you if you want to walk with Him after He saves you.